Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Herzlich willkommen zum Elbphilharmonie Talk. Mein Name ist Tom R. Schulz, ich arbeite in der Elbphilharmonie und ich bin heute hier zusammen mit drei Vierteln des Belcher Quartett, mit Corinna Belcher, der ersten Geigerin, mit Axel Schacher, dem zweiten Geiger und mit Antoine Lederlin, dem Cellisten des Quartetts. Wir sind am Tag des ersten Livestreams von zwei Livestreams hintereinander, am Pfingstsonntag und am Pfingstmontag mit dem zweiten Quintett von Johannes Brahms und einem Quartett von Brahms und morgen nur mit den beiden Sextetten von Johannes Brahms. So we're extremely happy to have you here and it's really getting back into the ordinary concert life, little by little. So we have two streams coming up with you with entire Brahms repertoire, and you have been doing some streaming in the past, and I wonder how tired are you actually of playing in empty halls?
Well, we are not tired of performing. We are just sad that we are performing to cameras instead of having the usual interaction with the audience, because nothing really replaces the live feeling of, you know, you enter the stage, you see the faces, you hear the applause. It's just a completely different ballgame. And, of course, imagining that there are some people hopefully listening to this live stream helps, but it's really not the same. So it's, on the one hand, it's wonderful that we can be on stage, that we have this opportunity, and thank you for having us in Hamburg. And it's actually not something that we've done a lot of. In the past year, it's been very, very quiet, so we've done one or two live streams, I think. So it's still a novelty in a way for us, but it's still great to be able to make music with our colleagues, because it's been quite difficult over the past year to even rehearse, because we don't live in the same place, so geographically it was quite challenging to actually get together. So it's nice to be back and to have the chance to perform with Tabea and Jean Guillen, which is just, and of course Amihai tonight. And it's just a great privilege and greatest pleasure, so thank you.
Also wir sind sehr, sehr froh, dass wir hier wieder spielen können. So viele Livestreams haben wir gar nicht gespielt, sagt Corinna Belcher. Wir haben einfach natürlich die Leute ungeheuer vermisst und das ist einfach immer noch etwas ungewohnt, wenn man in solche Säle kommt und normalerweise ist es da voll und da sind erwartungsfreudige Gesichter und man selber hat auch diese Vorerwartung. Das fehlt, aber man stellt sich halt trotzdem vor, dass Menschen da sind, die dieser Musik zuhören. Do you prepare somehow or do you have a person in mind or maybe a relative or somebody who you play for when there is an empty hall? Antoine, maybe you could answer that.
Imaginary, you mean?
Like, yeah.
I mean, not imaginary. I know that my parents will be in front of the screen, because on top of it, they love Brahms, so they tonight especially, I think. Otherwise, I think a lot of my kids when I play. Yeah, this is perhaps my imaginary character I play for.
So this is a very close family situation then.
Yeah.
Antoine sagt, ich habe ihn gefragt, wie ist es, denkt ihr euch eigentlich an, stellt ihr euch Leute vor, virtuell, die dann zuschauen bei solchen Streams? Und er sagt, ja, meine Eltern, von denen weiß ich einfach, dass sie zugucken werden und ich denke viel an unsere Kinder, wenn ich spiele. Axel, how about you?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird feeling, this streaming process, because of course we think that some people, hopefully many people watch us, so we feel a bit of adrenaline and feeling of a concert, but we also play in front of an empty hall, and we feel how much the interaction with the audience is actually important. Even the quietest audience, somehow you feel what they feel, how they appreciate the concert or less, and these little things put together makes us also produce the music differently, I think. So we try to do it as much as like in a normal concert, but it's not exactly the same. It's different. It's a different feeling. And yes, we have to imagine a little bit some people watching us, hearing us, family, or even people who don't like us, and we want to show them that we're we can play good. I mean, anything to actually have this live feeling.
Axel Schacher, der zweite Geiger, sagt, ja, es ist natürlich schwierig, in einen solchen Saal zu kommen und es ist niemand da und einfach diese Energie aufzubringen. Denn selbst wenn die Menschen ganz, ganz leise sind, spürt man doch ihre Emotionen. Man spürt, was die Musik mit ihnen macht. Man hat irgendeine Art von Austausch, von Dialog. Und wir versuchen halt schon, so live wie möglich zu spielen und natürlich auch uns vorzustellen, dass da Leute zuschauen und Leute dabei sind. One thing I was wondering, I mean, and you said it in another interview, Antoine, which I watched, there's also a physical component to giving concerts regularly as a string quartet and as a musician, of course, in general. Having not played that much over a year is almost like if you are an athlete and you are losing a bit of your stamina, of your muscle strength in order to be able to perform an entire concert. Do you feel like you're up to the game now again? I mean, you said that in March. Maybe it's different now.
Yeah, it was shocking in February. Remember when we rehearsed Brahms Quartet, actually, and we played it. And at the dress rehearsal, after one quartet, we were exhausted. And we thought, oh, it's as you
mentioned.
There's
another one to come.
Yeah, and you know, it's as you mentioned. I mean, we need to be in a certain rhythm, intellectually, but also physically. And that we have lost, and we are not yet there because we, you know, since 7 months we have played, I don't know, on the top of my head, 5 concerts or something, you know. So no, we are not there yet. But you know, it will come back hopefully. But you're right to say that, and I was the first surprise actually to realize how, I mean, we were also dependent on our, yes, on this rhythm. This I was a bit shocked.
Ja, wir sprechen darüber, wie ungewohnt das ist, einfach rein physisch noch imstande zu sein, solche ganzen Konzertprogramme zu spielen, wenn man so wenig live auf der Bühne gesessen hat, um ganze Konzertabende zu bestreiten. Und Antoine sagt, ja, im Februar war es wirklich wahnsinnig anstrengend. Wir hatten ein Konzert mit 2 Brahms-Quartetten und nach dem ersten waren wir eigentlich in der Generalprobe schon völlig alle und hatten das Gefühl, jetzt ist eigentlich reicht die Kraft gar nicht mehr dafür. Und es ist auch jetzt noch so, dass man das Gefühl hat, so ganz auf der Höhe unserer Möglichkeiten sind wir noch gar nicht wieder. Aber ich glaube, sie sind auf sehr, sehr gutem Wege und es wird sicherlich auch bald wieder zurückkommen. Man braucht ja vielleicht dann doch nicht so irrsinnig lange, um die Kraft wieder zu gewinnen.
Do we look well? Do we look rested? And in good form?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
For me, what's actually harder than the actual physical side of it is the mental control that you have to be incredibly aware of and really try to control everything that you do on stage, which I personally have lost a lot of. You know, it's the feelings, the fact that you get nervous, or at least I do, when you're on stage, and knowing how to control that comes with always being on stage and having that routine in the good sense of the word, of course, of being able to know what to do when you feel that way. And that I really have lost, and it's a little bit scary. Oh. Yeah, and now I really appreciate when I see my students, you know, getting nervous before an exam. Now I can really see what they're going through.
You can relate better to them
now.
Yeah,
completely.
Das ist spannend. Corinna sagt, es ist für sie eigentlich mental fast noch schwieriger als das Physische, einfach weil die Nervosität, die sie so gut gelernt hat zu kontrollieren über die Jahre, wo es Mechanismen gibt, wie sie damit umgeht vor einem Konzert, die hat sie so ein bisschen verlernt. Und jetzt ihre Schüler zu sehen, ihre Studenten, wenn die Examina zu spielen haben und zu sehen, wie das ist mit der Nervosität für die, das ist für sie jetzt sozusagen empathisch leichter, sich das vorzustellen, wie das ist. So I think playing, especially tomorrow, I mean, tonight also will be beautiful. I mean, the quintet is a wonderful music too. But I mean, maybe especially the B flat sextet you're going to perform tomorrow is such a joyous piece, I would say. And I mean, you didn't choose it probably deliberately, this piece, but it feels like, okay, now we are coming back into the spring of a new year, of a new hope, of a new... you know, interaction between audience, musicians, works. Does it feel like the right piece for the right time for you?
What's interesting, you mentioned the first sextet, but there is also the first quartet tonight, which has been so hard to produce for Brahms. And somehow it's been hard for us to be able to perform it because there was no concert. So it's the piece of struggle and fight somehow against, I don't know, something which is sometimes invisible, which it was for Brahms, apparently, to write this first quartet was very hard. He needed almost 10 years to finish it after trying to write many others. And the contrast with that will be tomorrow, the first sextet, which is the most easy music. It's really like a nice conversation, especially first movement, for example. But between musicians, between friends, talking about things, repeating, talking with one person, with another, these little groups that are created when you spend time with people. And the contrast between those two works is huge. And I think it's interesting after such a long time with nothing, I mean, no music, no concerts, everybody at home to struggle in a piece like First Quartet and then arrive to a moment of rest and happiness in the first sextet.
So it's another interpretation of Per Aspera ad Astra, you know, the old Beethoven saying, you know, from the dark to the light, because you're really showing both sides of what we've been going through in these in this last year. Sehr interessant, Axel Schacher sagt, es ist so bemerkenswert, eben heute Abend ist das C-Moll-Quartett von Brahms dran, sein allererstes Streichquartett, an dem er 10 Jahre rumlaboriert hat und wahnsinnige Mühe hatte, das fertig zu bekommen, und diesen Kampf sozusagen auch zu spüren in der Interpretation, und das ist für uns auch schwierig, weil wir haben es halt jetzt live ganz lange nicht gespielt, das ist sozusagen die andere Seite davon. Also wenn man dann in den Rückspiegel schauen würde und sagen würde, das sind die vergangenen Monate und dann morgen dieses doch sehr, sehr leichte, vergleichsweise überaus freudige Stück, dieses Brahms Sextett B-Dur, was für eine fröhliche Unterhaltung zwischen 6 Musikern ist. So that's really, do you feel the same a bit for these two very different pieces of music being like the right moment in time for us now, looking back and looking forward?
Absolutely. And in a way, what makes it a little bit easier, I think, to go on stage and perform the C minor quartet, the first quartet by Brahms, is that the feeling that we know Brahms also was daunted by the fact that Beethoven had composed these wonderful quartets before him, and he completely lived under the shadow of Beethoven. So it's now our turn to go on stage and live under the shadow of, you know, these masters that have written this incredible works for us, and somehow, of course, it's a great responsibility being on stage and trying to do the best for the notes written on the page. But at the same time, we think, okay, if Brahms struggled with that thought, maybe we'll manage somehow. And now it's wonderful to perform it, and of course, tomorrow to have the other two colleagues with us. It's funny you mentioned it, because just yesterday, as we were rehearsing with Tabea, she looked at us, she said, guys, we are just trying too hard. We know this piece. We've performed it. We worked on it. We know all the details. Let's just enjoy it. And it's hard to sometimes get away from those little details that you spend your rehearsals and life trying to get right. And you kind of lose a little bit the feeling of the overall most important thing is just to perform this music, which is so wonderful and with such fantastic colleagues. And I think we'll remember that tomorrow for sure. Yeah.
This is very good. And this is so Tabea, I would say. I mean, this way of being so generous with yourselves also on the highest standard, of course, but still, yeah. Corinna spricht davon, dass es schon auch natürlich eine besondere Verantwortung ist, diese Musik zu spielen, und so wie Brahms sich so beschwert gefühlt hat, weil er die Beethoven-Streichquartette halt so fantastisch fand und nicht recht wusste, wie er selber da eigentlich jetzt sein eigenes Stück dran setzen soll, so geht es ihnen auch so ein bisschen, zu sagen, okay, wir müssen einfach auch dieses Stück spielen, und man fühlt sich nie so ganz bereit dafür, vielleicht nicht so ganz fertig dafür. Und was das Sextett betrifft, Sie haben gestern geprobt mit Tabea Zimmermann, mit der Bratscherin, die morgen dabei sein wird, und Sie haben angefangen, wieder sich so in Details zu verlieren, und Tabea Zimmermann hat dann gesagt, Mensch, lass uns doch einfach Freude daran haben, wir haben das doch geprobt, wir wissen doch, wie das Stück geht, wir haben doch im März das alles gearbeitet, und da wieder zurückzukommen und zu sagen, ja, wir spielen diese Musik, wir spielen sie einfach wirklich aus der Fülle des Lebens heraus und nicht so sehr aus dem Gefühl, man weiß alles nicht mehr so richtig, wie es geht, das brauchen wir erst wieder, müssen wir uns erst wieder so ein bisschen an gewöhnen. Das muss wieder zum Teil unseres Lebens werden. And when I've heard you say that even your grandparents were enamored with the Brahms sextets, and I wonder how is it, and that also applies to you, Axel, probably. I think Brahms has a huge standing in France. And I wonder how come. I mean, in Germany sometimes people find him too heavy. I mean, maybe not the chamber music, but he find him heavy and, you know, very Germanic and northern and stubborn at times. And the French people apparently seem to love Brahms. How come? Amy Vu Brahms, not for nothing, is it the
we
French?
Have good taste.
Say again.
No, I couldn't really answer to that. Why in France Brahms is popular? There is a movie by I don't want to say something wrong, but I think Louis Malle called Les Amants. That was very, very famous in France in the 60s. And the second movement was the famous second movement of the B-flat sextet. Perhaps that helped somehow. But I cannot say it's because of that. I just something springing in my mind now. But it was in my family. I have this memory of especially several works by Brahms. It's true, more than any other composer. It was the Deutsches Requiem. It was, of course, the sextet, the first sextet, not the second, but the first. I don't know why. And it was also the double concerto. Perhaps it's completely by chance, you know, by my grandparents had this disc and not zone. But I mean, I know they were really loving Brahms more than any French composer, for instance. I mean, I've never really heard French music in my childhood with my grandparents, with my parents a bit more. But but probably it has been, yes, and there is this famous phrase, but I'm not sure about Brahms. Aimez-vous Brahms?
Oh, oui, c'est ça.
Yeah,
aimez-vous Brahms.
In this movie. And I think it's, probably that helped a lot, but I cannot really answer. I mean, I don't know.
Also wir diskutieren etwas ergebnisarm, aber immerhin doch die Frage, wie kommt es, dass Brahms augenscheinlich in Frankreich sich einer ganz besonderen Beliebtheit erfreut? Antoine Liederlin hat erzählt, dass seine Großeltern eine Platte hatten mit dem Sextett, das hat er als Kind dort gehört, glaube ich, mit Casals und Judy Menuhin. Und auch das Deutsche Requiem war sehr beliebt. Bei den Großeltern war Brahms irgendwie auf dem Altar der Komponisten irgendwie ganz oben und französische Musik spielte keine so große Rolle. Der eigentliche Grund könnte aber sein, dass es diesen Film Les Amants gibt von Louis Malle aus den 60er Jahren, wo der zweite Satz aus dem B-Dur-Sextett einfach als Filmmusik wirkt. Und da gibt es eben diesen berühmten Satz Aimez-vous Brahms in diesem Film.
And the first sextet is very accessible musically. And I think that helps a lot as well. And perhaps French are romantic, you know?
Not perhaps, for sure.
For sure, they are very romantic. Yeah,
yeah. It's funny because I think my mother reminded me a few days ago that the first thing I was listening the whole day long, and I was about 1 year old, I couldn't even walk, but on my knees and
crawling
hands, I was going to return the tape, and it was the first sextet of Brahms. It's, wow. It must have been the first thing I heard really a lot, and basically Brahms chamber music, not symphonies or things like that, really chamber music, and my parents loved Brahms very much, too. I mean, so maybe it must be a French thing. And I think it's because it's very harmonic music, and when you're a musician, you're very touched by the way harmony and the work is built by Brahms. It's really not only nice melodies and notes, it's
structurally.
And I really have this music in my skin. I feel it much more than many other composers.
Also die französische Empirie bekommt hier noch sehr starke Unterstützung durch Axel Schacher, der sagt, also seine Mutter hat ihm gerade vor ein paar Tagen erzählt, dass die erste Musik, die er gehört hat als Einjähriger, er konnte noch nicht laufen, da ist er auf allen Vieren zum Kassettenrekorder gegangen und hat die Kassette umgedreht und das, was er am allerliebsten gehört hat, war, wait for it, das B-Dur Streichsextett von Johannes Brahms. Und auch die Eltern haben Brahms ungeheuer geliebt und das ist auch für ihn selbst und er glaubt, das liegt auch daran, natürlich ist das romantische Musik, aber sie hat diese strukturelle Komplexität und Tiefe und eben auch, das ist so ungeheuer fein gearbeitet, dass das nicht einfach nur schöne Melodien sind, sondern das ist sehr substanzreich, was da passiert. Of course, Corinna, now I have to ask you about your first encounters with Brahms Sextet and with Brahms Chamber Music. How was it for you?
Well, my first real encounter with Brahms was at the Royal College of Music as a young student, I was 19 years old, in London, and I was singing in the choir of the German Requiem, and for me that was just the most incredible experience. First of all, because I didn't have the demands of the violin, part played by the orchestra, so I could really enjoy. And I love singing. I mean, I'm not a good singer, but I love singing, and I just enjoyed myself so much. And I thought it was one of the greatest pieces I'd ever heard. So that was my first real introduction to Brahms, and then the sextets I only discovered later on, as we started going through the chamber music repertoire when the quartet started at the Royal College of Music. It all happened in London, actually, all my education, musical education. So Yes, I discovered it gradually, but I love Brahms. I find it incredible, and what I particularly enjoy is this incredible cross rhythms that you just never know what meter you're in, and it just unless you look at the score, it's always a big surprise, and you're always a little bit lost, and I enjoy that a lot.
Great,
when I listen to something that I don't know very well and I don't have the score in front of me,
Are you singing alto?
No, I was singing soprano.
Soprano. Oh.
Quite hard, but still, you can kind of hide a little bit in the
in the choir
mass of everyone else trying to scream their heads off. But it was just an incredible experience to be, and a novel experience as well, because I had played in orchestras, but I never really sang in
you
a choir.
Never sung. And then you had to sing in German parts, right?
I don't remember that. Probably yes.
Yeah, parts of it are at least in German.
Yes, I guess. Yeah.
Also Corinna Belschers erster Kontakt mit Brahms war tatsächlich in London, als sie studiert hat an dem Royal College of Music mit 18 Jahren. Da hat sie gesungen, und zwar im deutschen Requiem, und hat es ungeheuer genossen, nicht im Orchester spielen zu müssen. Das hat sie eigentlich nie gemacht, dass sie in einer Aufführung im Chor mitgesungen hat. Sie ist keine besonders gute Sängerin, behauptet sie, aber es hat ihr wahnsinnig Spaß gemacht. Und Brahms hat sie dann eigentlich gradually erst in der Musikhochschule in London kennengelernt und sich dann eben, als es darum ging, welches Repertoire bauen wir uns auf, war Brahms eben dann doch sehr vorne dran. Und sie liebt diese gegeneinander verschachtelten Rhythmen, dass man nie so genau weiß, wo ist jetzt eigentlich der eine, wo die eins ist, weiß man schon, aber wie sind die genau zusammengesetzt, und dass man eigentlich immer in diesem komplexen Geflecht von Stimmen unterwegs ist bei Brahms. So I'm really looking forward, and I of course would love to be, the little white mouse hushing around somewhere when you're going to play tonight. You have been doing Brahms sextets with the Quartet de Quassals 4 years ago in the Leihsalle in Hamburg already. Yeah. The very same program like you're going to play tomorrow. Any memories of that, and any ideas as to how probably your approach might have changed within these last 4 years?
Well, I mean, what changes is, of course, the people you play with, they have a different approach. And finally, it's more them that's, in this case, that bring something in our quartets. Like Tabea has a very personal way of playing this music. And so it was very interesting for us to try to go towards this direction that we didn't really know. With the Casals, we were more used to what we heard, so somehow it was not a new material. With Tabea and Jean-Guyen, it is something slightly, a path that we have
deviating.
Not completely now, we are not used to, and it makes the experience very interesting. Because after all, it's about that. You try to open some doors, and in this case, I had, but I think my colleagues as well had the feeling that we are opening another door. That's something that we haven't really seen yet.
Mm-hmm. It's always a little bit about learning. In the end, when we repeat these pieces forever, we will probably play it our whole life, hopefully, if we can. So when we have the opportunity to play with people who actually inject some new ideas, some new energy, some different point of view, it's very interesting, of course. It's also nice to play with people where you feel more at home. It's two different experiences. We will not probably play the same tune tomorrow than we played 4 years ago. It will be very different. The whole process was also different because we had more time to rehearse. I remember 4 years ago we had to do it a little bit more quickly because we were in the middle of tours with other programs. And so. It's different experiences. And also this time we play mainly, our quartet is there for the two pieces. So we know already three other people very well and the way of playing these pieces. Last time we played, for example, Corinna and myself only one sextet, and my colleagues played with the Casals the other one. So it was more of a change of group in the middle.
Understand.
The approach was different. So yes, every experience is different, but as long as we learn new things and we have other ideas, it's always great. That's what we're looking for.
When you play with people of that level, anyway, it makes the experience interesting. It's one way or another. And in a quartet, you are so sometimes used to your own world, own dynamic, or it's always interesting to know to add someone that has a new vision of what you do.
Wir haben gesprochen darüber, dass das Quartett ja schon vor 4 Jahren in der Leis-Halle beide Brahms-Sextette gespielt hat, damals mit dem Quartetto Casals zusammen. Da war es aber noch ein bisschen anders, weil das eine Quartett wurde gespielt vom kompletten Casals mit zweien vom Belcher und das zweite Konzert wurde gespielt mit dem kompletten Belcher und zweien vom Casals. Insofern kann man also das nur so ansatzweise vergleichen. Dennoch war das eigentlich, wenn man so will, ein bisschen vertrauter vom Approach, weil das irgendwie ein bisschen ähnlicher vielleicht war jetzt mit Tabellet-Zimmermann und Jean-Guyen Queyras, dem Cellisten, der morgen auch dabei sein wird, da kommt noch wieder was Neues rein und was irgendwie vielleicht ein bisschen abgeht von dem, wie das Belcher sonst spielen würde, aber das wird von allen eigentlich als eine Bereicherung empfunden und als eine neue Tür, durch die man auch gehen kann und das wird sich vielleicht im Laufe des Lebens immer noch wieder weiter verändern, weil man dieses Stück idealerweise spielt, bis man den Bogen aus der Hand legt und dass da immer wieder neue Aspekte reinkommen, neue Vorstellungen, wie man so ein Stück interpretiert. Corinna, if you play with musicians like Tabea and Jean-Guyen, does it also inform the playing of you in a quartet in general, or is this just limited to, well, this is how we did the sextet? Is anything remaining from their energies, from their approach, from their words maybe, about music that travels in your mind and maybe changes perceptions of music making?
I think whether it's conscious or not, I would say absolutely. There's no way that an experience like this, having the chance to work with people of this caliber, would not influence our way of playing or our way of thinking. Or even if sometimes we don't like certain things, or not that we don't like them, but they are very different from how we think about it, and it takes a while to digest these new ideas and things. But I think at the back of our mind, it will always be there, and I think it will influence in a positive way everything that we do from now on. And I think that adds such a richness to our musical experience and our playing in general that it's just invaluable to have something like this. So definitely, yeah.
Could one go so far as to say, well, in general, it would be very advisable for quartets to every now and then invite other musicians in order to stir up a bit the energy and the routines and the ways of how people
to invite or to play for someone. We play sometimes for pianists who have also a complete other approach of the music, very harmonic and much less melodic than us. And we took recently, we played for Murray Peraya, for Alfred Brendel, for, I mean, people like that. And
what exactly do you mean you play for them? You play with them?
Or No.
We go there, we play for them
a quartet. And,
oh, nice.
And they work on that with us. I mean, and it's that is incredible. I mean, the feeling, I mean, walking out of the house of Murray Peraya first time, it was, we were shocked. I mean, we were... It was incredible. The experience was completely new for us. I mean, it was really something. Really something. I spoke about door opening. This was une baie vitrée. It was
it was
a very, very big door.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and that was your idea. Let's go to Murray and ask him about what he thinks.
Yeah, and yes, Brendel and Schubert, it was the same. I mean, it was really... Of Stephen Kovacevic, I remember some Beethoven lessons. I mean, yeah, definitely, yeah. And we went back to these people because I think it's, again, they have a view so different from our view on the music that it's a great lesson for us.
Wir haben gesprochen,
just a word, I think it's for me it's just necessary for a quartet, and I'm sure many colleagues do the same, to open the bubble you create as four people playing the whole year together, and in a way you know each other from memory, and you repeat sometimes yourself a little bit. I mean, it has to be, because you don't change yourself. And seeing other people, whether to play with them or even just talk about music or take lessons, I mean, we can call it as we want, but it's really necessary in such a fresh air, which you need to restart on the same things, but differently.
Mm-hmm. Ja, ich habe die Frage gestellt an Corinna, inwieweit möglicherweise jetzt das Zusammenspiel mit Javier Zimmermann und Jean-Guy in Queyras vielleicht doch auch Auswirkungen hat auf das Zusammenspiel als Quartett, dass das jetzt nicht nur einfach das Sextett, das hat das so ein bisschen bereichert und ein bisschen neue Ideen gebracht, sondern dass auch das Quartettspiel in sich eine andere Färbung bekommen könnte. Und dann sagte sie, ja, bewusst oder unbewusst ist das ganz bestimmt so, dass das eine Auswirkung hat und dass Dinge bei uns bleiben. Und man merkt das vielleicht erst später, dass das irgendwie eine Wirkung hatte oder sich was verändert hat. Und dann hat Antoine ergänzt, ja, wir machen das auch ganz bewusst, dass wir ab und an gerne auch zu Pianisten gehen, zu Alfred Brendel oder zu Murray Peraya und wir spielen denen vor. Und wenn wir vorhin davon gesprochen haben, dass sich da eine Tür öffnet, wenn jemand im Sextett dazukommt, dann war das bei Murray Peraya aus dem Haus zu gehen so, als wenn ein Scheunentor sich geöffnet hätte. So viele völlig andere Aspekte, wie Pianisten diese Musik, die wir spielen, beurteilen und was die da wahrnehmen, dass das ungeheuer bereichernd war. Und dann hat Axel noch ergänzt, dass es eben auch wirklich eine gute Art ist, aus den Routinen rauszukommen, in die man zwangsläufig hineinkommt als Quartett. Wenn man das ganze Jahr lang zusammengespielt hat, ist es einfach notwendig und sehr inspirierend. Und gut für die innere Weiterentwicklung, wenn man andere hereinholt und teilhaben lässt an dem eigenen Prozess. So, I think we are gladly done here. Thank you so much for having been here and conversing with me. We are really terribly looking forward to hearing you play Brahms. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank.
Elbphilharmonie Talk, der Gesprächspodcast der Elbphilharmonie.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.